This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruch HaMavon, welcome everyone. We have a very exciting share tonight. Parshas Tazria. The Shurim on Sefer Vayikra are again graciously sponsored by our dear friends, Dr. Zakheim Umishpachta, Le'ilei Nishmas, Reb Shlomo Eliezer Ben Harav Yaakov Zakheim, and Le'ilei Nishmas, Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka Bas Tuvia Halevi. Their neshama should have an aliyah, Began Eden Tehei Menuchasa, Menuchasam. Tonight's shir is sponsored by Eliezer Genut from Beit HaRilid, as is Chos Rufu Shlema, and Elizivuk Hagun for Blima Bas Etel Rivka. The Ibn Shem should send Rufu Shlema and her Zivuk Hagun, Bukarev Mamish. Tonight's shir is also sponsored by Yedidi, Rav Gedalia Schwartz, Dr. Gedalia Schwartz, in honor of his son Tzvi's Bar Mitzvah this Shabbos. And I want to take opportunity to thank Rav Gedalia, who literally is Moser Nefesh to be Marbitz Torah 24 hours a day. Anybody who gets the WhatsApps, they get around the clock. You could be get WhatsApps for the Parsha Shirim, for Mishnah Berurah, for Orchas Chaim of the Rosh, for the Shul, what else? Daf HaShavua, and a lot of other good tazachin. And now we're launching the historic program called Mishnah Berurah Daf HaShavua Shoyna Halachos. So that's beginning on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the beginning of the year. So if you've never had the opportunity to learn Mishnah Berurah, now's your chance. It's only one blot a week. Baruch Hashem, the last cycle we did the Dirshu, and Dirshu is a wonderful program, and if you do that, Tavay Aleichem Bracha. But for many people, I think this will be very meaningful learning. You could do it a little bit more thorough, and Be'ezus Hashem, come out with yediyah of the most important areas of halacha. So, on that note, we're going to start today's shir. What does it have to do with Parshas Tazria? I thought you might ask that question, but not all good questions have answers that we could reveal. Can't reveal everything. But let's begin tonight's shir with a comment of the Alei Shor, Reb Shlomo of Alba. The Pasuk tells us in Yirmiyah, so says the Lord, contemplate your path, and ru'u, and see, and ask, what is the correct way to go in life? And this, of course, is the basis for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who asked his Talmidim. He said, go out and see. Eizehu derech toiva sheyidbak b'ha'adam. Go out and see what's the good path in life. Which means, you know, it's not like he's talking to these riffraffs and he's saying, hey, you ruffians, you know, do you know what the right path in life is? Go out and check out what's the right path in life. He's talking to Tanoim. A Tana could go to the graveyard and say, no, get up. And the guy would get out of the grave. So that means they're doing pretty well. You know, if you're a Tana, you're doing pretty well. That means you probably understand where you need to be in life. And even so, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, hey, my dear student, do you know the right path in life? And therefore, certainly, in 2022, we certainly have to ask ourselves that even though, Baruch Hashem, we're all observant Jews, and we keep Shabbos, and we keep mitzvahs, and we try to learn, we certainly still have to ask ourselves, did we ever contemplate what is the right path in life? What does a Jew look like? And I don't mean what color the yarmulke is. It's irrelevant. I don't mean what kind of jacket you wear. Who cares? We're talking about the internal of a Jew. What is the mindset of a Jew? What is the perspective of a Jew? And most importantly, what do we learn? What do we learn? And that is the question of Ma Tzuras Ha'odam Ha'amiti V'Tzuras Yehudi Amiti. What should a Jew look like in his own turn? In other words, what should we study? And Reb Volba amazingly says there are four principal Svarim and areas that a Jew must master as his foundation. Now, you're going to hear this and say, nobody's doing this. Because there's a lot of, you know, ask me, what do you learn? Most people. You know, it's interesting. In the times of the Shulchan Aruch, Balabatim, meaning, we're not talking about Rabbeim, Rosh Yeshiva, we're talking about Balabatim. In times of Shulchan Aruch, how many hours a day did a Balabas learn? 9 hours a day. So it's saying 500 years ago, the regular working person learned 9 hours a day. In the times of the Achroinim, maybe 200 years ago, a Balabas only learned 3 to 4 hours a day. Now, you say, if only a Rosh Hashiva could learn 3 to 4 hours a day. How much time does a regular working person learn today? You know, if you could learn an hour, you know, most people would think they're doing pretty good. And now the question is, what do most people learn in that hour? Most people today, if they learn an hour, most people learn Daf Yomi, they learn Gemara. And actually, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Reish Mem Vav, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have 9 hours a day to learn, La'olam yashlish adam shenoysav shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. You learn 3 hours of Chumash Navi, you learn 3 hours of Mishnah, and 3 hours of Gemara. And then the Rama says, nah, Rabbeinu Tam says Gemara includes everything. So you learn 9 hours of Gemara. Says Revolba, no, it's incorrect. Lamaisa, a Jew has to master the following four things. Number one, he has to have a wide-ranging knowledge in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, with the Mishnah Berurah. For Sfardim, I guess Yalkut Yosef. Number two, you have to know Chumash and Rashi, Chumash and the Ramban. Now, number one is Arachayim, Mishnah Berurah. Because you don't know Mishnah Berurah. Okay, I woke up in the morning. Now what? What should I do now? Should I put my fingers? No, don't put your fingers in your ears. You can't put your fingers in your ears. You're inserting tumma in your ears. You didn't even get out of bed and you already did the wrong thing. What do I do now? I go downstairs washing negev. No, am I allowed to even walk dalet amos without washing negev master? Now what? I wake up. I'll say brachas. Am I allowed to say brachas? I go to the bathroom. Which hand am I supposed to clean myself with? Which finger should I hold the tissue when I clean myself? I don't know. But I know the sugya in Yevamis and Daf Tzadiches. I know what happens if two brothers who are brothers from their mother and not from the father, who if one of them dies, you do chalitza, and then if he wants to marry a kohen. That has never happened in the last 500 years. Yeah, but that I know. So, the first thing you got to know is Shulchan Aruch. Then I come to Shul. Okay, what do I say? Moida ani lefanecha reishis chachma. No, the Mishnah Berurah says you can't say reishis chachma. You didn't say Berachas HaTorah yet. Then Shema mini munus misar v'ichol. Who said you should say that? Then al netilas yadayim Berachas HaTorah. No, asher yotzer and then all kinds. But it doesn't say it in the siddur. Yeah, you're following the siddur. You have to follow the Shulchan Aruch. So you haven't even gotten a half hour into the day. You've already, X, 50 times. So if you don't know Shulchan Aruch or Achayim, you can't even take one step. So that's number one. Number two, you need to know Chumash with Rashi. And Chumash with Ramban. Chumash with Rashi, you got to know what the Bible says. You got to know who's Abraham, who's Isaac, who's Yaakov Avinu, what did they do? What does the pasuk mean? Vayelech Ruvain, Vayishkav and Billah. How do you understand that? You have to know our history, and the Ramban tells you the principles of emunah b'tachayim. I don't think he's saying you have to know every single Ramban, but you have to know the basic Rambans on the Torah. Number three, Perkei Avos with Rabbeinu Yoina. Perkei Avos with Rabbeinu Yoina. At least Pirkei Avos, but Pirkei Avos with Rabbeinu Yoina. Because without Pirkei Avos with Rabbeinu Yoina, then person doesn't know what midos are. What's anava? What's gaiva? Oh, I know what gaiva is. Pal, you know what gaiva is, but do you know what anava is? What's kas? What's kina? I don't know. I never thought about that. I only thought about whether I could dip matzah into my fish on Pesach. That's my main subject that I'm busy with. Gebrakst. And number four, you need to know the Mesilas Yesharim. So here's a guy, he learns Gemara every day for an hour. Says, now, I don't think Rav Volba is not saying you should learn Gemara, but it's not one of the four basic things. I assume that means this is like the foundation. Of course you have to learn Gemara regularly. But this is the foundation, and the number one foundation is Shulchan Aruch with Aruch Chaim. You got to learn halacha. If you don't learn halacha, So then basically you're saying, I associate my life with people who claim to be Torah observant Jews. Not that I'm a Torah observant Jew, because if you don't actually learn halacha regularly, how could you be a Torah observant Jew? What do you mean? I went to high school. You went to high school? Do you know Hilchos Tefillah? Did you ever learn Hilchos Pesukei Dezimra, Hilchos Berachos Kriyashma, Hilchos Shemoneh Esrei, Hilchos Tachnon, Hilchos Brachos? Hilchos, guy walks out, he's drinking coffee. He walks out of his house. You have to make a new bracha when you walk out of your house. Do you know the halachas of Shinoi Makom? Huh? What's that? Sukkah. Yeah, I sit in the sukkah. Really? You sit in the sukkah? What do you eat in the sukkah? What do you not eat in the sukkah? We could go on and on and on. Mitzvot Srichos Kavana. Do you think every time you put on tefillin, I'm a chavein to be mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin? Oh, not really. Well, chachilo, you for sure need to do that. Before you make kiddush Friday night, are you mechavein to be mekayim the mitzvah of zachos yom hashabbos lekadshei? Before you put on tzitzis, are you mechavein to be mekayim the mitzvah? Before you do any mitzvah, are we mechavein to be mekayim the mitzvah? This is all part of halacha. Without halacha, it's nearly impossible to fulfill any mitzvah properly. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So you say, this sounds like a commercial for the new launching of Mishnah Berurah Daf HaShavuah. Of course it is. What do you think of this? What do you think? It's time I'm giving a random shir on Tazria about learning halacha. There's always a reason. But this is a good reason. Now let's talk about specifically the Mishnah Berurah. They once came to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and they said, Rabbi Yaakov, now you say, oh, he learned in Yeshiva Chavetz Chaim. I did learn Yeshiva Chavetz Chaim. That's why all the Ma'amar Kamis tonight are from all the Gedolei Yisrael, who, even though it's interesting, the Mishnah Berurah was not always the safer. Many Gedolim held to follow the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Henkin, even Rav Moshe. But today, in 2022, it seems like the Mishnah Berurah has been accepted as the Poseik Acharon in Klal Yisrael. These are not my words. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, as we're about to see, says, whatever Rav Yosef Karo wrote, whatever the Magen Avraham wrote, whatever the Mishnah Berurah wrote, it's like God told us from the Lishkas Hagozis in the Beis HaMikdash. It's the final word. Can't go to the right, you can't go to the left. It's a Bas Kol Min HaShamayim. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, quotes the Chazon Ish. So they came to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. They said, you know, there's this really great sefer out there, but the author, he's word happy. He says this idea in 100 words. You could say it in 10 words. And we know the Gra says that every word of Torah you learn is a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. So are you telling me when I learn this sefer, I get a mitzvah for every single word of that sefer? I mean, so the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said no. Only if a sefer was written with exactitude and every word is precise, do you get schar for each word. Otherwise, if the author is just, you know, flowery and verbose, you don't get reward for each word. So they asked Rabbi Yaakov, what's an example of a sefer where every single word is cheshbind and accounted for and precise? Rabbi Yaakov says Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah was the quintessential sefer where each and every word was written precisely. And now we come to Reb Chaim Kanievsky in his Hakdama to Shaina Halachos. By the way, if you want to join our Shiurim, we're going to try 9 a.m. Monday through Thursday. It's going to be on Zoom. It will be recorded on Torah anytime. It will be on all the different venues. Sunday morning, we're going to try to chazer the daf with Shaina Halachos Reb Chaim Kanievsky. You could join our WhatsApp. You could get it from the site, rabbidg.com. And on there, you could connect. Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of people who are interested. Okay, so let's talk about a balanced diet. You know, now it's today, and today it's all about the balanced diet. So the guy is 300 pounds overweight, and he says he has to lose weight, so he's going to eat only protein. Okay, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nutritionist. I do know that if someone just eats protein, they're probably endangering their life. You don't have any carbohydrates and no sugar at all, it's very dangerous. It taxes the body. You have to have a balance. Look, if the guy has to lose weight. But you have to have a balanced diet, you know. The pyramid, I don't know if that's still, yeah, it's still basically Oiskahalten? You know? Basically, the pyramid, you eat like 500 pieces of cabbage a day. And then after that, you have 40 carrots. And then 400 apples. And like once a year, you could have a little piece of meat and a piece of sugar once every yovel. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, you could have a piece of sugar. That's the basic pyramid. But it's the same thing in learning. In learning, you have to have a balanced diet. I only do this. You have to make sure you cover the main spiritual nutrition. So the Mechaber in Siman Reish Mem Vav says that if you have 9 hours a day to learn, shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'tamid, a third of Tanakh, a third of Mishnah, and a third of Gemara. Comes the Ramah quotes Rabbeinu Tam, Bavli! Talmud Bavli is Bolo Menakol, Gemara gets you everything. Comes the Shach, and the Shach says there are a lot of Balabatim, they learn Gimel Pei Tuf, Gefes. Anybody ever hear of Gefes? Gefes is an expression. Gemara, Perish Rashi, Toisvis. By the way, the more things change, the more they say the same. Nowadays also. I would say most people, they learn Gefes. Right? Yes, most people. You learn 5 hours a week. Three, what do you learn? I don't know. Gemara Rashi Toisus. Gemara Rashi. Gemara Rashi Schattenstein. You know? We'll make a new Gemara. Perus Schattenstein. And then what else? What else do they got going? I don't know. Some other limud. You know? But most what? Masifta. Right. Yeah. Gemara Art Scroll Masifta. But says the Shach, that's not correct. You need to learn Poiskim, like the Rif, the Mordechai, the Rosh. He says, when could you learn Gemara? If you have 9 hours a day to learn, then go ahead, learn Gemara, learn Erech, and learn Yevamos. But if you only, Nebuch, if you're a Balabas, and you're a working guy, and you only have 3 to 4 hours to learn. Can you imagine that? 3 to 4 hours a day. The Chayyadim writes that Balabatim Nebuch only had 3 to 4 hours a day to learn. And a Balabas who learns 3 to 4 hours today, he's already be Rabban Shel Kol Bnei HaGoyla. You can't just learn Shas, you have to learn Halacha L'maisa. That's the Psak of the Shach. And the Chafetz Chaim, in his Hakdama of the Sefer Mishneh Berurah, he says that even though when a person learns, everything is Kadosh, and every element of learning that one learns, you're mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of Talmud Torah. But Iker Limud Ha'adam Tzarech Liyos B'Limud Ha'mevi Lidei Maisa. The Iker learning needs to be Halacha L'maisa. And therefore Chazal tell us, Oyev Hashem Sharei Tzion Mikol Mishkanos Yaakov, God loves the learning of Halacha more than any other subject. God loves the learning of Halacha more than any other subject. And provided that a person does it regularly. Therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, which area of Torah is the most important to learn? Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim. Of anything you learn. In other words, the most important question then a person has to ask themselves is, do I learn Halacha Aruch Chaim? Right? Because Talmud Torah is the most important mitzvah. And the most important chelek of Torah is Halacha L'maisa. And the most important chelek of Halacha L'maisa is Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim. And therefore, the most important question a Jew should ask himself is, do I learn Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim? Yes or no? And the answer is going to be yes. So we're good. But the Chafetz Chaim says, unfortunately, there are very few people who do that. It's interesting, you know, in the yeshivas, and there's a reason for this. In the yeshivas, so they always recommend, besides from learning Gemara, you should learn Ketzoy Sachoshen. You should learn an hour of Ketzoy a week, which is important because, you know, you need to train yourself to think. You need to hone your mind and harness your mind to be able to think through the Talmudic process, which is really sharpened by learning Ketzoy Sachoshen. Rav Avad Yosef writes that when he was a koilo man, he couldn't pay the bills. So he used to go learn with a certain oishar. And the oishar would say, "Nu, tell me over the Ketzoy Sachoshen." So Rav Avadya would say over Ketzoy Sachoshen Baal Peh. How many people do you know Ketzoy Sachoshen Baal Peh? How many people do you know that even know Ashrei Baal Peh, right? But the Rav Avadya knew Ketzoy Sachoshen Baal Peh. Later in life, Rav Avadya said, "Oy vai, I spent time learning Ketzoy Sachoshen." Why? Instead of learning Sezach Hoshen, I could have learned another Beis Yosef. So in other words, yes, all Torah, now, Avada, you know, Sezach Hoshen is Kadosh Kadoshim, and in no way are we taking away from that. But the point is, there's a certain hierarchy of importance, and if a person's time is limited, I mean, it's very mistaber. Why should a person focus on what's not relevant if one is not expert in what is relevant? So I want to sort of share with you some of the history of the Sefer Mishneh Berurah, some of the challenges Chafetz Chaim went through writing the Mishneh Berurah, and some other important inyanim as we go along. So first we have over here from the Chafetz Chaim's son. What was the Chafetz Chaim's Derech HaLimud? The Chafetz Chaim's Derech HaLimud was from the Vilna Gaon, which is, if you come to a subject, you want to learn Hilchos Egla Arufa, the Chafetz Chaim would go to the Pasuk in Chumash, and he would learn the Pasuk in Chumash. Then he would learn the Mechilta, the Sifra, and the Sifri. Then he would learn the Targum. Then he would learn Rashi and the Ramban. And then he would learn the Mishnah on the Pasuk. And then the Tosefta. And then the Gemara. And then the Yushalmi. And I remember, his son said, that while we were learning, we were mechadesh many, many chidushim. And then the Chafetz Chaim would learn all the Rishonim. And he would start by learning the Rif, because he would say the Rif was the Rambam's Gemara. And whatever's not in the Rif is always in the Rambam, and the Rif and the Rambam have to be learned together because they complement each other. And then he would learn Tosfos and the Rush and the French Rishonim and the Smag and the Arzarua and the Ramban and the Rajba and the Ritva and the Ran and the Meiri and the Itur and then the Shultis and then the Bahag. And what about Pilpul? Chafetz Chaim said there's no time. What about Yeshivish Chakiros? Nah. No, the life's too short for that. That was the Chafetz Chaim's opinion. And he says the Iker is to know how to be Mekayim the Torah Lamaisa. And the Chafetz Chaim's son said this is the Derech HaLimud of the Vilna Gaon. So then the Chafetz Chaim's son said that the Chafetz Chaim began working on Chelek Aleph of Mishneh Berurah, and then he got up to Hilchos Nesias Kapayim, and the Chafetz Chaim said, oy vai, you know, we're going to see it took the Chafetz Chaim 25 years to write the Mishneh Berurah. And when he finished Chelek Aleph, he said, who says I'll live so long to finish my compilation on the whole Mishneh Berurah? So he said, I got to go to Hilchos Shabbos. So the Chafetz Chaim skipped to Chelek Gimel. That's why in the first editions of the Chafetz Chaim, the Hilchos Shabbos said Chelek Beis on it. Because he would go to Chelek Aleph, and then he would, the Hilchos Shabbos was Chelek Beis. And in 1892, he finished Chelek Hilchos Shabbos. And then he went to Chelek Beis, Hilchos Brachos, and Hilchos Nesias Kapayim. He started Chelek Aleph in the year 1884. Now, Chafetz Chaim's son wrote, here the Chafetz Chaim, he's in a groove. He wrote Chelek Aleph, he wrote Chelek Gimel, and he figured, okay, God should give him time. And Hashem sent him a big challenge. The Chafetz Chaim was writing the Sefer Avas Chesed, and he had a son, Avram, who was 8 years younger than the older son. And this Avram was 18 years old. He was a Goyen Olam. He said, Dad, I want to go to Volozhin. Chafetz Chaim said, no. Why? I don't know. We don't know. Probably, if it wasn't a good reason, it's unlikely the Chafetz Chaim would have said. Chafetz Chaim, by the way, was not a proponent of Lashon Hara, if you didn't know. You know, Chafetz Chaim did not. You know that? Chafetz Chaim did not endorse speaking Lashon Hara. So we don't know exactly why the Chafetz Chaim did not let his son go to Volozhin, but his son persisted, and the Chafetz Chaim had no choice. He said, you want to go to Volozhin? Go to Volozhin. He went to Volozhin, and it was a bomb. The yeshiva, there was a fire in the yeshiva. The yeshiva closed down. Everyone had a scram. and run away and flee. And there were enough wagons, and guys, boys jumped onto wagons. And on these wagons, they got post-traumatic, what is that called? What do those football players get? PS, no? CTE, yeah. What is that, concussion, what? What are the P, when the head blows to the head, basically the Chafetz Chaim's son, yeah. PTSD. PTSD. He got shooken up, and then he came down with a very bad stomach ailment, and they told him, don't worry, calm down, go home, lie down, have a hot tea, put lemon in it. You know, all these, whenever somebody's, they tell you, put drink hot tea with a lemon and ginger, and it cures everything, right? So they, but it's just getting worse and worse and worse, and the Chafetz Chaim's son fell deathly ill, and the Chafetz Chaim had to take him to doctors, and many, many days of the Chafetz Chaim's life were spent trying to get medical attention for his son. And throughout this time, the Chafetz Chaim did not stop delving into Hilchos Shabbos and learning Hilchos Shabbos B'Iyun, and even the Chafetz Chaim's son, who himself was deathly ill, also learned together with the Chafetz Chaim. So this was one of the various challenges that the Chafetz Chaim faced. In the year 1884, Chafetz Chaim published Mishneh Berurah Chelek Aleph. And many people, they publish Sfarim. They say, hey, Mr. Publisher, here's my manuscript, publish it. Chafetz Chaim went down to the publishing house every single day. He made sure every word was written carefully, otherwise he felt it was going to be gezeila if he sold the sefer and the words were smudged or if it wasn't printed correctly. Chafetz Chaim spent weeks and months sitting on top of the publishers. In 1906, Chafetz Chaim's son said, I moved to Warsaw. And the Chafetz Chaim entrusted me to publish the rest of his Sfarim. And one day, the Chafetz Chaim got a letter from a disgruntled purchaser. Rabbi Yisrael Meir, how, look, my page, Kuf Nun Vav, is before Kuf Nun Zayin. It's a Mekach Tos. I want my money back. Whereupon the Chafetz Chaim penned a letter to his son. He says, my dear son, I can't believe in my whole life. I was trying to avoid avak gezel, the dust of stealing. I never thought I would actually steal from someone. And now look what you did to me. You caused me to steal from somebody. I need you immediately to republish Sefer Chafetz Chaim and put in ads in the newspapers that anyone who bought the first Sefer should come for a refund. I can't imagine this was a very profitable publishing run where the Chafetz Chaim republished the book because of flipped pages and put in ads in the newspapers to refund people. Every single book, the Chafetz Chaim went, he hired Mugaim to look through the book to make sure there are no mistakes, and the Chafetz Chaim would write in each book, Muga, checked. Who does that? There are Svarim today, the original printings of Chafetz Chaim have the Chafetz Chaim's handwriting in it. Muga, it's like it's a collector's item. Chafetz Chaim, many authors, they don't write their name in their sefer, right? It's Kosov Be'ilam Shmai. Chafetz Chaim insisted to put his name in it. Why? Chafetz Chaim said, it's a halacha work. If I made a mistake, then let somebody ask me, and I'll explain to them why I think I'm correct, and if I'm wrong, I'll change it before the second edition. Now, just at this point, I want to share with you a change the Chafetz Chaim made in the Mishneh Berurah, in the second edition. It's Nageh Hilchos Pesach. I once mentioned it in a Shabbos Hagadol drasha. So if you heard it already, so chazer over something while I'm saying it. But the, you know there's a halacha. If let's say you take a donut. You know what a donut is? A round thing that's covered in chocolate. It's not one of the major food groups. Remember the pyramid? It's not, it's one of those things, you know, you eat once in a while. You dip it in milk, yeah? What do you have to do? You must wash Netilas Yadayim. Right? There's halacha. If you dip a food in one of the seven liquids, you have to wash Netilas Yadayim. Who says that? The Torah that the Lord gave to the Jewish people, you know that document that God gave us with 613 mitzvah halacha. Halacha that when you eat something dipped in a liquid with your hands, you got to wash your hands. However, the Chafetz, not all the Rishonim say that like that. And that's why some people, perhaps incorrectly, I'm not available. I'm giving this. But the halacha is you got to wash your hands. What if it's less than a kazayas? If it's less than a kazayis, the Chafetz Chaim says, well, many Rishonim hold that even bread less than a kazayis, you don't have to wash your hands. Now, we don't hold that way, but there are such shittos. So if it's not bread, it's just dipped in liquid, you can rely on the poskim who either say you never have to wash your hands when you dip something dipped in liquid, and yeah, certainly, and there are those who hold even bread, you don't have to wash your hands less than a kazayis. So less than a kazayis, dipped in liquid, you don't have to wash your hands. And that's the psak of the Chafetz Chaim. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim paskind in, it's number 18, I think it's Simen Kufnon Ches, it's Sif Chaf. Comes Hilchas Pesach, Chelek Hei, and the Chafetz Chaim sees the Shulchan Aruch paskins that karpas, less than a kazayis, you got to wash your hands. Says Chafetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha and maybe Tafayin Gimel, he says, wait a second, why would you have to wash your hands? Many Rishonim hold you don't have to wash your hands, some you dipped in liquid. And even though we do, but many Rishonim hold you don't have to wash your hands for bread if it's less than a kazayis. So I don't understand the Shulchan Aruch. But clearly Shulchan Aruch is saying, you gotta wash your hands for something dipped in liquid, even if it's less than a kazayis. I wrote in Simen Kufnun Ches, you don't have to. Chafetz Chaim went back. And he changed it in the second edition, and he said, Batla Daiti to the Shulchan Aruch later on in Hilchos Pesach. So the Chafetz Chaim did make some revisions in the Mishnah Berurah. We have over here something amazing. The Chafetz Chaim printed a letter in 1923 in Warsaw. By the way, I found today a letter the Chafetz Chaim wrote to his community in Radin right before he left to move to Eretz Yisrael. He said goodbye to them. Now, Chafetz Chaim never went. But he was planning on going. Some mystical thing happened, and Chafetz Chaim never went. But we have the letter, the goodbye letter he wrote to his community. It's amazing. He says like this. He says, first of all, this is also very, very poignant. The Chafetz Chaim was a Yosim. He lost his father at age 15. He had no support. All he had was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he said that Hashem should do this chesed with me, that he was mezakeh me to write chiburim that Klal Yisrael learns from. And of all the Chafetz Chaim's writings, the one that he was most proud of was Sefer Mishneh Berurah, to explain halacha l'maisa. He says, how can I ever repay HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What could I give him? Whatever I give him is from what he gave me. You know, it's a very, very poignant observation that a very large percentage of the Gedolei Yisrael were Yosaimim. Ger Rebbe. And many, many of disproportionate percentage of Gedolei Yisrael were Yosaimim. The Arizal. There are many, many Gedolim. Chafetz Chaim says, I don't hold copyright on the Mishneh Berurah. Anybody who wants, I give them permission to republish. With the provision that every 100 copies you publish, you must donate 4 copies to a shul. Now, the Chafetz Chaim only gave permission for Shulchan Aruch, Chafetz Chaim, and Shmiras HaLashon. And if you publish 1,000, you have to give 40 to a shul. And if you publish 10,000, you have to give 400 to shuls. And Chafetz Chaim says, otherwise you have no rishus to republish, and you have to publish it the way I wrote it. Namely, Shulchan Aruch, Rama, Ber Heitev, Shari Tshuva, Mishneh Berurah. And the Chafetz Chaim says, Beli Shinoi, I wonder if that means you're not allowed to change the Tzuras Hadaf. I wonder if that means if you're not allowed to change the layout. Nekudais. So they asked the Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi, why do you publish the Mishneh Berurah with Shari Tshuva and Ber Heitev on it? Does anybody still look at the Shari Tshuva and the Ber Heitev? Everything you need to know from Shari Tshuva and Ber Heitev is in the Mishneh Berurah, and whatever's not there, are people looking at it? Listen to what the Chafetz Chaim, any Yiddish speakers over here? Loima, you ready? The Chafetz Chaim says, Rechi kachi hamida. Azich zolt zu nehmen dem ganzen Shulchan Aruch und allemen vertreiben. Very good. That means, should I take the whole Shulchan Aruch to myself and throw everybody else out? In other words, okay, now that I'm here, we don't need them, but now I'm just going to throw them under the bus. Okay. Now, I want to share with you, I think this is a very powerful thought. Halacha does not appeal to a lot of people. Basically, I find there are two kinds of, there are some people like halacha and some people don't, you know, some people are more machshava oriented. They like, you know, the philosophy or the thought behind something, the meaning of something. But the halacha is, you know, it's technical. Okay, take 3 steps here, eat less than a kazayas at in this amount of time. The learning of halacha is not as maybe, some people don't find it as inspiring, perhaps. Dry, if, you know, for no better term. So some people say, you know, I like learning machshava, it's more inspiring. I feel more deveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I learn Maral or Michtam Eliyahu or Gra or Ramchal than when I learn Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah. And another thing is, you know, you're supposed to have simcha when you learn. I have much more simcha when I learn something more machshava, more philosophy, than when I learn cut and dry halacha. I think those are like the two arguments that people have, you know? A, I don't feel as connected to God. And B, I don't, just not as enjoyable. Amazing. How does Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim open up? The Ramah's opening comment, Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. Then you see the Aroin? If there were words on it, it would probably say, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. I place God before me always. And how does the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah is discussing, should you make a Suda on Purim Katan? Should you not make a Suda on Purim Katan? The Ramah says, whether you do or not, v'toiv leiv mishta tamid. If you have a good heart, you're always at a party. So the Chida famously says that the Ramah begins and ends Shulchan Aruch with the two tamidim. Shvis Hashem legdi tamid, v'toiv leiv mishta tamid. I place God before me always, and if you have a good heart, you're always at a party. The two tamidim. The tamid shel shachar, the tamid shel bein harbayim. The tamid of the morning, the tamid of the evening. The tamid of the morning is, place God before you always. The tamid of the evening is, you're a son of a good heart, you're always at a party. Which means, if you fulfill placing God before you always, if God is always in front of you, then you'll always be happy. That's what the Chida says. Perhaps we could humbly add, there's a very important reason why the bookends of Shulchan Aruch are Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, V'toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid. Because we're talking to a guy, the guy says, I love learning Machshava, Maral, Ramchal, Gra, Shulchan Aruch, I don't feel connected to God. We say, pal, you know what this is? You know what Shulchan Aruch is? Shulchan Aruch is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. You want to be connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You got to know that when you tie your shoes, the Ribbono Shel Olam has a way to do it. So you could connect to Hashem when you're tying your shoes. You could connect to Hashem when you get dressed. You could connect to Hashem when you drag yourself out of bed. You could connect to Hashem when you eat. When every activity you do, the purpose of halacha is just the opposite. The greatest way to connect to Ribbono Shel Olam, the greatest way of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid is Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim. Yeah, but it doesn't make you happy. No, Adarabba. You know what else halacha does? When a person's every minute activity is governed by the Shulchan Aruch, that engenders the greatest simcha. So just the opposite. The Shulchan Aruch itself is addressing the two concerns. People have, I'm not connected to Ribbono Shel Olam, it doesn't make me happy. Just the opposite. If you want to be really connected to Hashem, in fact, I once heard with my own ears something that I actually still remember. I heard this from Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef. Sheyichya l'shanim l'yamim v'shanim tam aruchim. He said over from the Arizal, and I could not find it for many years until yesterday, that you want to be connected, you want to be connected to God, you want to be, you know, davuk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Halacha, the Arizal says, is oisiyos hakala. We know Torah tziva lanu Moshe mayrasha al tikri mayrasha ela mayrasa. We're supposed to be married to the Torah. The Torah is supposed, we're supposed to, we connect, we bond, we fuse with the Ribbono Shel Olam through Torah. What? What type of Torah connects us in the most intimate way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Halacha is oisiyos hakala. Yeah, but isn't it nice, good enough to be a nice person? You know, Rav Nachman would say the road to the purgatory is lined with a lot of good intentions. Or he would say, you know, it's good enough to have a Jewish heart. So they say in the purgatory there's a meat locker with hooks, and on the hooks are, they slab all the good Jewish hearts on the hooks. Chazon Ish would say like this. He said, without halacha, there can't even be mussar and ethical behavior. So there's a story. A guy has a pizza store on the corner of Broadway and 3rd Avenue. We'll call it Jerusalem 3. Yeah? And right next to it, a guy wants to open up another pizza store. Now, could you open up a competing pizza store right next to the first guy? No, it's Hasagas Gvul. You can't do that. You can't infringe on someone's business. And the one who did it, the community, are they authorized to be antagonistic to him and yell at him and make his life miserable and fight him and hate him? Absolutely, it's halacha. Someone who's masig gevul, you could be make machloikas with him, you could hate them, you could be moitzi diba on them, it's halacha. The person is infringing on someone else's business publicly, then, you know, all bets are off to protect his well-being and standing in the community. So the guy opened up a competing pizza store. We could make things miserable for him. Here's another story. A guy had a yeshiva. He had a successful yeshiva because it was the best show in town. And then a year later, a guy opens up a yeshiva right next door. And he gets new rabbeim. And people like the new rabbeim better. That's the way it is. And now the first Rebbe, he lost his livelihood. Yeshiva. And now people start being antagonistic to this the opening of the new yeshiva. How dare you take away the livelihood of the first person? He was muchzuk on it, and they really make life miserable for him, and they speak lashon hara about him, and they really kill the competing yeshiva. And they think they're right. Says the Chazon Ish, they would be right if the halacha was like them. But when it comes to Talmud Torah, there's no hasagas gevul. There's no competition. You're allowed to infringe on somebody else because we hold kina soy from tarbe chachma. And therefore, what would have been correct had it been a pizza store is now machloikes and aschinom, lashon hara, ritzicha. What do you mean? Is it ethical behavior or is it not ethical? The answer is it only depends on one thing. Halacha! You gotta know the halacha. It's irrelevant whether you're a good person, you're not a good person, you're a nice guy, you're not a nice guy. The first step is you need to know what to do. So they asked, there are two versions of the story. Version number one is Rav Aaron Cutler once had a conversation with the Beis Yisrael of Ger. He said, we know, everybody knows, the Chafetz Chaim was a big tzaddik. But he's not known in the same way as a goyin. You know, if yeah, who's the Chafetz Chaim? People say, oh, Chafetz Chaim was a very righteous man. But he, in terms of his brilliance, people know, Shagas Aryeh, Tzoy Sachoshen, he wasn't renowned. That wasn't his most prominent feature. People know him as a righteous person, a tzaddik, not as a goyin. So Rav Aaron Cutler said, you know why? Because Ritzoy Nirei of Yasa, God fulfills the will of those who fear Him. And the Chafetz Chaim didn't want anyone to know about his goyness, about his brilliance. So he wanted it to be hidden, so God went along with it. And God allowed the Chafetz Chaim to hide his brilliance. But Rabbi Aaron Cutler said, and he said this to the Ger Rebbe, I don't understand. Why didn't Hashem go along with the Chafetz Chaim? The Chafetz Chaim probably didn't want everyone to know how big of a tzaddik he was. So why didn't Hashem help him out with that? And the Beis Yisrael said, you know, I was also bothered by that. But the Chafetz Chaim, in his great humility, he never considered himself a tzaddik. So therefore, he never had that rotzoin that his righteousness should be hidden, because he didn't think he was that righteous. And therefore, if he would have known how righteous he was, he would have davened, God, hide my righteousness. But he didn't think he was so righteous. There's another version of the story. Rav Shlom Shadron would say over that they asked this question to the Briska Rav: if God hid the ga'oinus of the Chafetz Chaim, why didn't God hide the tzidkus of the Chafetz Chaim? And the Briska Rav said, because the Chafetz Chaim felt he was just following the Shulchan Aruch. He wasn't a tzaddik. He was just doing what it says in the book of Joshua. In fact, they once asked Rav Pam, Rabbi, is it true that you know the four books of the Shulchan Aruch? Rav Pam said, yeah, it's true. So the Talmidim asked, you know, Rebbe, what happened to humility? You know, the Gemara says, if someone says, do you know Erechin, you're allowed to lie and say, no, I don't know it. So why didn't you lie and say, yeah, I don't know Shulchan Aruch? He said, because you don't know Shulchan Aruch, you're not a Jew. You only want to say, I'm not Jewish, out of humility, but it's a Shulchan Aruch is, you know, the ABCs. Before, like Rav Volba says, the four things you got to know. You got to know the Mishnah Berurah. You got to know Chumash Rashi Ramban. You got to know Pirkei Avos Rabbeinu Yoina and Masil Susharim. And number one is Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim. Amazing, the Chafetz Chaim, when he reached 80 years old, he sent out the following letter. He said, please, I can't stand it, you people. You write these letters to me that I'm a goyin, I'm a tzaddik. Don't you know what the Yushalmi says, that if you know one mesechta, and they say, oh, you know two mesechtas, you got to say, no, I only know one, I don't know two. So I just want you to know, you say about me, I know Shas, I don't even know one mesechta, the Chafetz Chaim says. But even more problematic than a matter of humility is that over the years, people give me money. If they would know how little of Torah I know, how little my Ma'asim Tovim are, they probably wouldn't give me so much. And I'm afraid that whatever I took was Gezela. Therefore, do me a favor, everyone. Just don't call me these disgusting names like Tzadik and Goin. And the money you gave me, I'll do you a favor. Whatever you gave me, I'm giving you a chelek in the svarim I printed, so that, you know, we'll call it a day. We'll call it a day. But don't think that you gave it to me because I deserve it. No, you gave it to me, and I'm giving you back, commensurate with what you gave, a chelek in the svarim. So bottom line is, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of limudim going on, and they're all wonderful, and they shall be continued. But I think this is something that tzrichim chizuk, and we tried the first cycle of doing a page of the day, and la'aniyas daiti is quite quick. It's quite fast. This is a little bit of a slower pace. It gives time for review. We plan on reviewing with Shein Halachos over the weekend. It's a half aside a page a day. 9 o'clock to like 9, 10, or 9, 12. You could come on the Zoom. Same Zoom channel. 9 to 9. If you're driving the car, you could turn it on. Or if you're not, you could turn it on anyway and humor me, and you just put your name there and, you know, do whatever you got to do. But, Be'ez Hashem, if you want to join the WhatsApp group, you could sign up. You could go to the site, rabbidg.com. We have a few hundred people already on it. And Be'ezus Hashem, through the learning of Halacha, Shubi Zoicha, Oyev Hashem, Shari Tzion, Mikol Mishkanois, Yaakov, and Chazal say in the time of the Golos, Yishoytutu Rabim, many people will search for the Dvar Hashem and they won't find it. But in the times of the coming of the Geula, we'll be Zoicha to have Halacha Berura, U'Mishnah Berura, B'makoy Mechad. Thank you everyone for listening. Have a wonderful evening. Kol tov. Okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.